number. That's fine.
Perfect.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm having a real fun time at school, also. Me entertained.
Okay. You think it's 6 o'clock? I hereby call this meeting of the City Council to order. It is 6 o'clock. So please rise, remove caps, silence your cell phones, and join us in saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Amanda, will you call the roll, please?
Brago? Stigers?
Here.
Youngquist?
Here.
Moore?
Here.
Morgan?
Here.
Ernest?
Here.
All right. We do make, before we approve the agenda, we need to make one amendment, and that is in number 12. This was, should be a discussion and consideration of a resolution to hold a special election. So, with that amendment, do I have a motion?
Moved.
Thank you, Fran.
Second.
Thank you, Isla. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We're into the consent agenda now. We have seven items. Did anyone have any questions or anything for separate consideration?
Make a motion. We approve consent items 1 through 7.
Second. Thank you, Fran. Thank you, Elaine. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. We have a couple of special event requests tonight. One is for JT Sips for the Spring Shop Pop in March. Is anyone here to speak on that item? Anybody online? I maybe not. I think we've approved things like this before. Does anybody have any questions?
She's been doing that quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think there's no problems probably at all. I make a
Okay.
motion we accept, approve.
Thank you, Isla.
Second.
Thank you, Elaine. And all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. Next is a request from Reverend Aaron Kay for community worship at the bandstand on May 26th. Is anybody here or online to speak about that request? I guess not. Again, I think it's something that we've done before. Does anybody have any questions?
I make a motion we approve this request.
Thank you, Elaine.
Second that.
Thank you, Pat. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. Next is presentation from the public. We would ask that you limit comments to 3 minutes and keep the content appropriate. Is anybody signed up, Amanda, to speak?
I have Bob and Marion Minnick on code changes.
Okay. Would you rather speak at the time in the agenda when we're talking about that item?
Yes, please.
Okay, you can do that. That's fine. Anybody else that is here to speak in public? Nobody else on the list, Amanda?
No.
Okay, we'll move on to we have Bud Stein here to give us a presentation for affordable housing and urban infill. And hi, Bud. Let's okay. Hopefully this will work. Fingers crossed.
Close one of my ears, that'll help.
Oh, I think I'm okay. Thank you. I'm going to set this up and let it warm up while we chat for a few minutes. So, all right. So I appreciate your time. I appreciate getting to meet some of you this week too. I tried to get around to everybody, but time just ran out. I'm sorry. But what we're going to talk about is something myself and some staff members of mine have been working on for about 9 months. I had I was doing some volunteer work in South Dakota, ran into the same problem there. Housing is an issue across the entire country. No one questions it. That's a problem. It seems like the target is moving, though, and it's changed. And so I'm going to click in if you just wait 1 second.
Getting to your network, and then we'll start. City Public Wireless. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I would have had this done, but my battery won't last. Then I'm going to log into your Zoom location. One second. All right. Okay, so we'll get this up and running. So what was mentioned is this is sort of about affordable housing, but I have a feeling that that is a myth. And
recording in progress.
Ooh. I have a feeling that is a myth and a misnomer. And the last thing I want to do is hear myself. Okay. So, point being, I retired 2 years ago. I owned an engineering firm that did work for John Deere all over the world. And my wife passed away to COVID, and I took 2 years off, and I found out that retirement stinks, or at least it did for me. It wasn't very fulfilling. And so I moved back here. My friend said, hey, we need to put something together. We looked at the market, and the problem that we found here is the same problem we found all across the country, and that is housing, not even just affordable housing, but housing in general. And so I have a friend up in Waterloo who's the business development director up there, and they've been doing something for a long time that I would hope we can partially implement here in this area. And that's what I'm presenting about. So I'm going to present to you the concept, the progress we've made so far, and then I'm going to put out the proposal. The proposal is basically a request for the city if they want to take action. All up until now, all of this has been done just as voluntary time because I have a lot of free time. So that's pretty much the foundation story. All right, so let's see. I'm here and I'm going to share screen. We'll share that screen. And we'll pull up a nice little presentation. Okay. Get this out of the way. So what is the goal? Why am I even here tonight? And the answer to that is to talk about infill properties, urban infill properties, where there's dilapidated or burned down or open available small footprint properties, and putting small footprint homes on those properties. The construction method here's where I'll get to the myth. I believe right now, based on 9 months of research, that new construction affordable home is a myth. I have tried every possible technique I've ever learned in 40 years, and we just can't get a home built inexpensively. It's new, it's just very difficult. And so we came up with a hybrid that is kind of a blingy thing above that might open the doors for people to move in here and open up available affordable housing where they were prior to being here. And so the features are, it's a design to expand, it's tornado safe on the first floor.
Zero threshold design, I call it cuteness factor 9.5, just to be cute. But it's not Habitat for Humanity, and it's not tiny homes. It's small footprint homes. There's a significant difference. I know that because I have a daughter that lives in a tiny home in Utah. And the look and feel is not, and there's nothing wrong with Habitat for Humanity. I'm a total supporter of that. But it's kind of more along the appealing, street appeal kind of look. And those are just concept designs right there. Open architecture on the inside. It's all the rage besides, it's all the rage a long time ago, and now it's back to all the rage again. We have already fully produced design documents. I'm working closely with with EBD, Washington Lumber, all the subs I can get my hands on, anybody that will work with me to come up with, what this concept is going to look like and what it's going to be. And so all I can tell you is it's designed as a base module of about 1,100 square feet, but it's already structurally designed to expand without interfering with the homeowners inside the home. All the structural load and work is done so that they can work outside the home without messing up the house. So here's the concept. Here's the challenge, rather. Boy, just
need that guy again. Upper left, the upper left of that box.
Oh, reduce it down.
Yeah, just click on that and it'll.
Thank you for your tech support.
We have to do that on our end.
I see that. You know how wonky it is to move this mouse up there?
There, right there.
All right, good. So here's where I hit the myth wall. No matter what design concepts I worked with, we could not do anything under 125 or 130,000 at the build point. That's not the sell point. That's the build point, which was shocking to me. Even these prices you're seeing, I have beat my head against the wall. 16,000 is now 20. That's already 9 months old. 23,000 is over 25,000. And 105,000, I can't even tell you where it's at. That's just the nature of how product is changing. All right. So this is where I kind of realized that we're beating our heads against the wall if we think we can build new affordable housing that is, decent in construction, 2x6, et cetera. So all these numbers roll into complicated spreadsheets, which give us targets to work towards, but even working on those targets, we weren't able to get the price down. So here's why. Costs are basically coming in 25% too high. They don't include legal or engineering fees, which they won't require much. The cost does not include property. There's the mind blower right there. Build yourself a cute little home, small footprint home for $130,000 or $40,000. You had better find $25,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 more just to put it on a little piece of property that somebody owns in this city. And I have interviewed people that own property in this city, and they want $25,000 to $50,000 for a postage stamp. That's their right. Permitting requires licensed contractors. What I found about the subs and the contractors is they love making money up in Iowa City. Baby, and that's where I'm from, so I know what that's all about. That's where the money's at. Why would I? Okay, out of respect. Well, they come down here and put a little house on an infill lot, but I'm going to make, $80,000 to $100,000 less on the property. It's just not logical. Everything is stacked against it. Even the realtors, the bankers, and the builders—they're all needing to make money. Well, this is kind of opposite of that game plan, and it's just. It smacks against everything that seems logical. But here's the positives in the green. The city may have properties that we have not yet located. We have unknown grant possibilities that Wedge can look into, and we have unknown gift and investor possibilities just because people might want to get behind this. We just don't know. So there's a lot of unknowns. All I can bring to you is 9 months of research and effort in my background. And I'm still coming up saying, wow, even if I live at Riverside Condos Casino, I paid 130 grand for my place, perfect, 995 square feet, it's everything I'd ever want. I can't even repeat that down here if I got a free piece of property.
And I wanted to have a dog outside and some gardens. So that is the shocker that I came up with. So what does the city want to do? What are your options? Well, here's what I'm proposing. I'm proposing that we find sites right now that the city has that are potential sites for a prototype build. I'm going to fund it, working with Washington State Bank and a bunch of others, but I'm going to fund the first build because there's so much to learn about this concept, and we don't even know if people are going to be excited about it. If the property, if we find those infill sites, but they have a house on them, well, then there's demo. If not, then maybe we can get them permitted. We can build a house, put it up for sale. And every property needs to be paid forward. And we need to fill a bucket full of money that can be used to demo dilapidated properties. Now, I don't know if you have a fund for that, but if you don't have a fund for that, this is non-sustainable if we don't pay it forward. So if we don't put money into a bucket from every build that we have, we will not be able to take the next dilapidated property and pay $5,000 to $7,000 or $10,000 to have it tore down and put a new little house in there. So those are the various challenges that we're confronting with. So in essence, the summary, what I'm saying is I'm willing to put the time and effort into building a prototype of this on a city piece of property. And when it sells, turn that into $5,000 cash. We'll do that all in contract to the city. But if it sells and it works, I want four more, because then we're dumping $20,000 to $25,000 in the bucket. And you know what's next on the agenda is we probably have to tear properties down in order to make space for new ones. We're not talking subdivisions. We're talking urban infill. It's the most cost-effective way to build a house. We just need the properties. Now, unfortunately, in Waterloo, they've done 144 times, and they're experts at it. But we're not asking for that. We're asking to prove a concept, all right? Now, I have a 3D model of this thing that's really cutesy that I can show you, but just suffice to say, let me just back it up just a smidge so you know what we're looking at. I mean, suffice to say, we've got a main floor with a hardened area for tornado. We have circular stairs going up to a catwalk that gives you access to a loft and a storage area. I found that building down was far more expensive and far less useful space. So my foundation concepts of full basements basically couldn't pass muster as far as useful space. So EBD and I are working on concepts of extremely creative truss manufacturing that will allow to utilize space that's up above the first floor. And it can be done, you know, to the tune of 1,100 square feet. And this is the footprint that I've been playing with. There are 1,000 options up there. So that's all I got to say about that. I'm just going to, let me get down to the end here. So what this means for the city of Washington, are you interested in looking at this deeper? I'm leaving tomorrow for a couple weeks. I'll be back. You can play and talk all you want. I'm actually going to leave here because I forgot to bring you the drawings. I'm just going to let some drawings lay out. Can you find a prototype site? That's the next question. And then finally, if we all agree, it passes muster, it proves value, it is something that we need in this community, then can we find four additional sites to fund the teardowns? All right. Now, everyone would like to say, let's put this in a cutesy little community subdivision. I'm all for that, but I guarantee you your cost of infrastructure is going to exceed the value. So, you know, we got to play in space that we're available. Okay. So that's all I got. All right. Thank you. I hope I didn't take too long.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, bud. I'll leave cards here, and I'm going to zip back to my office and grab prints, and I'll just
and we're going to forward that PowerPoint to somebody.
I can send it to Amanda. Perfect. And that's what you want. And by the way, I'm going to leave you some cards because I forgot to mention a person. My company actually deals with laser technology and high definition laser scanning and bulk document scanning. This is more of a little passion project for me. The company doesn't really give a hoot. So,
all right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I embarrassingly have to wind this down and get out of here.
Okay. All right. Get them back. Okay. We will move on to the claims report for February. Kelsey, take it away.
I did get one question ahead of time on police that I really the officer first aid supplies that was to refund their first aid and their cost, right?
Okay.
Are there any other questions on claims?
Anybody else? I will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the claim report for February 2024.
Thank you, Fran.
Second.
Thank you, Elaine. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. January financial reports.
It gives us a January month end balance of $9,787,809. After 7 months of operations, we're ahead of budget for revenue and almost all of our funds, with the exception of sewer fund. Our general fund by $100,242 due to local option sales tax. Airport fund by $13,020 due to pool sales. The roadies fund by $13,379 due to roadies taxes. The water fund by $69,232 in charges to services, and sanitation by $32,336 for the charges for services. After 7 months of operation, our expenses are behind budget for the water, sewer, and sanitation funds. A common theme in those funds is that we're over budget due to our work comp insurance installments and our general insurance. In addition to those insurance expenses, the following line items are currently over budget. The general fund for seasonal work repairs, payments to outside entities and staff development, the airport fund for fuel and balance equipment, road use fund for vehicle operations, contractual services, equipment, supplies, signs, street maintenance, and the seal coat program, water plant for utilities, credit card fees, meters, and chemicals, water distribution for vehicle repair, minor equipment, and operation supplies, the sewer plant for operational equipment repair, building maintenance, engineering services by seller application, and truck purchase, the collection for complete supplies and equipment, and finally the communication for other contractual services. There is also a question on the morning. The fund balance for the downtown incentive grant, the current balance shows $231,473. And we're just waiting for Main Street to submit reimbursement for those state grants that have already been approved.
Okay.
That fund will continue to grow this year once we transfer $100,000, but I think most of that money is already spoken for.
Okay. Thank you, Kelsey. I would entertain a motion to approve the report.
So moved.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, Fran. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay. Next into new business. First item is discussion consideration for a final payment to Stump Construction Services for Housing Rehab Program. It's something that the program we're running through ECOG, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Make a motion, we approve the payment to Stump Construction.
Okay.
Second up.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, Pat. Is this a voice vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same side. Okay. And then number two, discussion and consideration for change order number one for the same project, but it was a change order that reduced the cost. So
I'll make motion we approve the change order.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, Pat. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, same sign. Okay. Next, we're on to the library for their change order to the reconstruction company in the amount of $682. Any questions? I think it was explained in the on the document the reason for this. Okay. There was something about replace existing floor and break up floor and replace flooring around it. Something in that it's the make it place.
I make a motion we approve the change order for reconstruction.
Thank you, Pat.
Second.
Thank you, Elaine. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. Next is discussion and consideration of a pay application number 5 to Reed Construction. This would be the same library project. This is for $76,037.93.
Motion to pay the bill for application number 5 to Reed Construction.
Thank you, Isla. Thank you, Fran. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Number 5, discussion and consideration for the renewal of the JETCO SCADA system support contract. And we got a memo here from Jason. Any questions? Deanna, do you have any other explanation about this?
Jason, that we have every 3 years. It's just renewal.
Okay.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we accept this.
Thank you, Elaine.
Second.
Thanks, Pat. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Okay. Same sign. All right. Number 6, discussion and consideration for a resolution setting a public hearing for the proposed tax levy for the fiscal year 24-25 budget. And that will be held on April 2nd.
I make the motion that we accept the resolution setting the public hearing.
Thank you, Elaine.
Second.
Thank you, Fran. And Amanda, will you call the roll?
Sigers?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Morgan?
Yes.
Okay. So we've got that. And note that we're going to have kind of a double meeting that night. So get that on your calendars. And then a discussion and consideration of a resolution approving the application to the Riverboat Foundation for a grant. This one is for the police department.
Make a motion we approve the resolution for the grant process in County Riverboat Foundation.
Okay, thanks, Fran.
Second.
Thank you, Elaine. And Amanda, will you call the roll?
Ernest?
Yes.
Morgan?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Steigers?
Yes.
Input?
Yes. Okay, number 8, discussion and consideration for a resolution amending the employee handbook for the city of Washington in 2 different chapters. And the explanation is all there. Any questions? I think we discussed this at a recent budget meeting.
Well, I make a motion and we approve the amending the employee handbook for the city of Washington.
Thank you, Pat.
Second.
I'd like to second. Thank you, Elaine. And Amanda, will you call the roll?
Morgan?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Steiger?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. Okay, number 9. This is a resolution also for an application for grant funds to the Riverboat Foundation. And this one is to be a commitment of matching funds. The county is applying for a grant to replace all of the sirens in Washington County. So they're all in the same system and they all work. So they have asked us for a commitment of cash or money to support that application. We do not know the total cost. They have an RFP that I think is coming in at the end of the month. So I have no idea what part of the total this is. They just asked us for little skin in the game.
I'm making a motion we approve the resolution endorsing an application to Washington Rural County Rural Foundation for grant funds.
Okay. Thank you, Fran. Thank you, Isla. Amanda, will you call the roll?
Seigert?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Morgan?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Okay, great. Next, number 10. This is a discussion and consideration for the first reading of an ordinance amending the municipal code, chapter 50.10 for operable vehicles. I believe this is what Mr. and Mrs. Minnick, you were here to speak about. Would you like to come to the podium and introduce yourselves and take several minutes to...
Well, what we would like to know is what is the proposed change, because we've not been privy to that information.
Okay. Do we have any copies of that?
It's in here. It is in the packet.
Okay.
So I can just go through the changes and that way everybody knows. So basically, as we have right now, you have to, the amendment would be operable vehicles, trailers, materials, supplies, and related equipment for personal use, not business use, will be parked or stored outside only if placed in a rear or side yard, not the front yard, and it's stored on a parked or stored on an all weather surface area, and such parking has to now be accessed by an all surface area. So you can't have a patch of gravel in the middle of your lawn and then drive over the grass to get to it. It has to be all weather surface to get to it, all the way to it. It's not legal to hop the curb to get to it anyway. So you're gonna have to have a way to get there without having to drive over grass, track mud, whatever on the mm-hmm. streets.
So you can just drive over the sidewalk. I'm sorry, maybe I shouldn't have asked that.
No.
So
yes.
So the building and that we're getting questioned right now, mm-hmm. they're gonna have to go over the sidewalk. There's no drive there because it's the sidewalk, property's butted right up to the sidewalk, as is the building, mm-hmm. because it's always been a garage.
Got it. So, but I'm not as familiar with the property, so I'm going to ask Deanna about the, is there not an access off the street for this lot at all?
To the storage.
Yes.
To the garages, yeah.
Yes, okay.
But not
where
they
can. Or where, like, the trailers are parked.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be at all weather surface to get to that. From usually, what'll happen is you drive in your driveway, and then the all weather surface is going to have to come off and go to wherever the vehicles are parked. And then I'll just keep going a little bit. And then these vehicles are prohibited. Period. And anything that's a nuisance, so the vehicle has to meet the nuisance code. You can't have inoperable vehicles. Anything that meets the definition of a commercial vehicle under the Iowa code, which is something that hasn't weighed 26,000 pounds or more. A motor home, I'm not talking about, you know, little travel trailers or anything like that. Motor home is over 45,000 pounds. It's the ones that are you drive, and it's the one unit. And then, and also a motorsports recreational vehicle, which is sort of the same thing as the motor home, 54,000. Or up to 45,000 and a greater weight restriction. So what we did is we added those restrictions because we felt that you shouldn't be putting vehicles that big in a, you know, on the gravel surface. You know, mm-hmm. you're driving something that big on a gravel, you know, one thing if it's concrete, but if it's gravel. So we just made it so those would not be allowed, period, on those, you know, in those areas. So that does allow trailers, you know, people have trailers, people have, you know, pulled behind campers. That's not outlawed. Okay. It's just a big, you know, commercial vehicles, which includes a lot of subsets of other vehicles. You can think about commercials, the general definition, and then the motor home is the large one that you could drive. That's 45,000 pounds at least.
Could I interject something here?
Sure.
Yes.
Well, the issue with the property next to us is our concern. We lived at 811 North Marion for about 54 years, almost lifelong residents of the city. view out of the picture window in our living room to the south is now, as of a few weeks ago, we have a, our view is of the back end of three trailers. And it's destroyed our view. It's cluttering up the neighborhood. We've asked, is $3 going to be, could it be five or could it be 10? And the answer is, well, yes, we could. As long as they keep spreading gravel out of the property, they could put any number of trailers, or other things, equipment on this property. So that's what we're challenging here. And I feel that the issue is not only with our little corner of the world, but it's going to affect everybody in town. You might have a $500,000 house, and if your neighbor chooses to put these three trailers or something similar to them on their property, right next to your property, they can do it.
And then perhaps to put something in the ordinance, we did add it, they can only have two. So we did put a
Regulate the size.
Yeah, so the size, you know, the vehicles, the commercial vehicles, the motorhomes, the weights that are like 26,000 pounds, those aren't going to be allowed.
But just a cargo trailer.
Those would be allowed because I mean they're all over the place right now that people have. We're trying to keep the really large vehicles off. So the cargo trailers and everything like that would not. You're not running your business as a personal use. It's not like you're going to have if somebody's running the trailer for a construction company, that doesn't count.
Something about placing at the back of the property or
it has to be in the it can't be in the front yard, which is basically from the house forward.
What do you do when there's no front yard?
There every lot has front yards, side yards, and even if there's not a structure on there, there's a front, the side, and the
okay.
Yeah.
So that property, the building is flooded right up to the sidewalk.
And it faces to the south.
That you have a little sidewalk, and then you have, I guess, a parking area and the street. That parking area is basically the terrace.
So one of the other things with the existing buildings are probably legal, non-conforming buildings. They would be grandfathered in under the zoning code. So there's nothing this ordinance is going to do is the building gets to stay there unless it's destroyed or something like that. So that's not something, and that's just a general law thing. We can't change somebody's zoning or something when they have an existing building on it to that we have to take their structure down. So obviously, if you built that building right now, that would not be allowed where you're describing.
So there would be no parking on that property. Is that what you're saying?
I'd have to look at the property, but the problem, I mean, we still have the issue with the grandfathered in use there. So if they continually are using that property for the same purposes, they'll be able to have two on hard all weather surface properties. And I apologize, I'm not that familiar with your property, so without looking, getting an overhead view and everything of that, I would have to do that. But I can talk to Deanna and make sure I look at it in more detail.
What about the bigger picture concern of the rest of the town? And like I said, a $500,000, maybe even $1 million house.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody could put these trailers sitting right next to them. I can't imagine if I had a house that nice that I'd want that sort of thing.
I can't imagine one person setting up there that would want to have this out their front window where they were looking at it all the time.
Well, I guess it's a council decision because this is a regulation that's been in place for many, many years. And this would be a, and the other thing I would say, if you had a new subdivision, there are restrictive covenants that are, so if you had a new subdivision, my guess is that the persons couldn't put the trailers in the yards right now.
Exactly. And when we talked to you, Diane, the last time, you said that we would, or Deanna, I'm sorry, you said that those codes would be the same in Washington as they are in the subdivisions. So per those subdivisions, they can't put those trailers.
We have no right to enforce anybody's covenants in a subdivision. Only the owners of the subdivision of a lot in a subdivision can enforce those covenants. The city has no right to enforce those.
Okay.
So that would be a private property owner that would have to make that.
So you, Those codes aren't good in the city then, so that was wrong. We were told wrong on that. So what about the zoning and
So this is I think we're getting off track here. Because we're getting into details here. And this is what what's in front of you if we want to do something else, but like I said, go ahead and if you have questions for me too.
Okay. So there is there anything in this proposed ordinance that would change anything that's happening here? Like the limiting it to two vehicles?
If they were taking them in and off and on and off, yes, it would have to be limited to two.
Limited to two.
Because this is not a grandfathered in use as it, because vehicles don't come in, you know, if they stored the vehicles there, had the storage shed here, that's the permanent thing. That would be one thing. So there'd be a limited two.
Do you folks have a question?
I do.
Yeah.
This picture looks like this is like construction company equipment. You got a flatbed trailer with a bunch of lumber on it. Got an enclosed trailer that can house construction equipment. Mm-hmm. And you got a dump trailer to haul debris away.
But here's the thing. How do you know that it's not a person, you know, a person?
Well, I know.
The enforcement problem is we're trying to make a determination. You know, it's one thing if you have a trailer that has, you know, Jim's Construction on there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I can't see the side of it.
I don't know what it is either.
It doesn't identify it as anything.
So that's why we said personal instead of business. Right now, there's no restriction whether business or personal. Mm-hmm. So we've added that.
And we added that commercial piece in there.
Yes, mm-hmm. We never had that before.
So do we need to look into see if this is actually used for commercial? Can we do that?
We've asked the question whether this was going to be a business. We have no idea at this point whether it's...
We've been told it wasn't going to
be. Yeah.
It's not going to be a business. If this is a residentially zoned lot, yep, and they have not run a business out of that lot, they cannot put a business back in that lot.
There's not been a business in that lot since we've been there.
Yep.
It's going to be 54 years.
That's what I mean.
So my question is, who's going to monitor it that they don't put a business in there, and what constitutes a business? If somebody's building cabinets and delivering them out, is that a business?
Well, it's just like any other enforcement action here. We don't have people that
can
look in.
There isn't much.
Well,
so we would do the normal enforcement action we would have to, you know, we have people who go around, you know, if we have complaints from residents, right, we would investigate those, but right, we don't have people going around checking every right lot. And, right, you know, we don't have the manpower to do that.
Right.
So
that's how this whole thing got started, because we made a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And then the city inspectors went and told the guy that he could do whatever. And I had asked him to wait until this was resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day he was out there telling him to go ahead and do it. And I think mm-hmm. what he said was, go ahead and do it. And if it's there, we won't make you change it. Maybe I'm wrong there.
Yeah.
But I'm very unhappy with the way things were handled with him.
We tried to envision what purpose these trailers could be for anything other than business. I mean, what kind of hobby could a person have?
I think we're getting
that's a case by case basis. We're not, we can't make it as
well. This is our home,
right?
I understand that. I'm just explaining that we have to do this on a case by case basis. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make a ordinance that tries to cover as many situations mm-hmm. as possible.
Well, you know, this issue has never come up before, it's never been before you guys. And so we made a complaint, and the city inspector made the decision that it's going to be changed.
We will personally look into this. I appreciate you coming and drawing this to our attention. And we'll do what we can. We're somewhat, our hands are tied, but we will try to do what we can to resolve this situation.
One more comment. That is that... In the past, it's been several years ago, two different times. This property has changed hands like six times during the 54 years we've been there. And there's been two different times where somebody started parking equipment, trucks, that sort of thing there.
Mm-hmm.
We challenged it, and the city inspector at that time took care of it.
Okay.
We complained, but the problem disappeared. This okay. time it's not working.
And we have probably someone different now in that position, so... We'll do some research and try to come back to you, and we'll see what we can do. But in the meantime, we realize we do need to tighten up this ordinance and make it so that situations like this do not exist. So,
as soon as that ordinance goes in, we're going to be down here screaming nuisance. Well, the Washington Code, the Iowa Code, they all talk about nuisance.
Okay.
And this gets right in there.
This,
so you know.
What is the nuisance? I don't understand what the nuisance of parking a vehicle is. I'll stop.
Okay. We will take this under consideration. This is the first I personally have heard of this situation. So we'll talk about it, and I'll talk to the building inspector, and we'll try to come up with something. In the meantime, we need to move on. And does anyone have any? Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. We really need to move ahead. Unless you have something new to add, we really need to
keep our business. I would be happy to sit down with any of you or all of you. I ask that. So you know exactly what we're feeling. And I have spent, I bet, 40 hours looking at codes. Okay. Washington is the only city around that doesn't have specific things talking about on private property in residential areas.
Okay.
So I'm done.
If you find something from another city, bring it to our attention. We often take wording from other cities. So if you find something... Okay, well, all right. Okay, thank you. All right, so let's go look at this ordinance in front of us here. What are your thoughts?
I like the changes.
Okay. Anybody else?
They can always be amended if they don't work out, or they can be amended to add more to it. Am I right, Kevin?
Yes, I mean, you can amend it on the second or third reading also.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we might.
Yeah, that's your prerogative.
Okay. Anybody else? Thoughts?
I make a motion we approve the first reading of ordinance amending the municipal code of the city of Washington, Iowa, chapter 50-10, operable vehicles.
Okay,
second.
Thank you. Ordinance, so we need the roll.
Curtis?
Yes.
Morgan? Yes.
Question before I respond. Okay. I do that.
Yeah.
I guess I'd like to see a little bit more detail in here before that. So,
what kind of detail are you looking for?
So, I get two, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I'm not arguing the number two.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say, you know, personally, I've got a designated area because I have a trailer mm-hmm. or a child's vehicle that I move there sometimes, right?
Yep.
But I try to keep it defined to a size. So is it, to me, it's worth the language here of saying, if we're going to say two, we ought to be specific about based on the vehicles that are going in there because we've represented, I think we need to be specific about a specific size to that as well. Otherwise, it's look, I can put a hard surface down, but I only park two. Do you get what I mean? So I could put as much gravel or as much cement or as much as I wanted there, but I'm only parking two.
So you think the size of the vehicles or trailers should be specified?
We define the vehicles. I think that's clear.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's the space that we're putting the vehicles on. Because to me, that's a little ambiguous. If let's say we pass this, we go to this individual, he's now got this larger than needed space for two vehicles.
I see what you're getting at now.
Yeah, I'd like to be, we define vehicles, I get it. And if you really look at those vehicles, they're a certain width, right? Based if they're on the road. So I think we need to be a little bit more specific about that defined area.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say too, given what I've heard and looking at the pictures and knowing this property, I'll drive by it on my way home just to verify because I do, but it's grass mm-hmm. in front of that.
Yeah.
The gravel and the pull up to this building down here was a side park right up against it where the doors were. He's reconfigured some of that and cleaning this property up. So I'm a little bit torn here in the sense of we've allowed something here. I think there's a need for this because we need it in all properties, but now are we going to backtrack and say, Well, you got grass in front here, so we got to either pour something or put gravel to hard surface to make this work. So we went a little bit backwards. In all defense, that's my gut feeling on this. So.
I can agree with your point there. Yeah. Yep. We have a lot of people that have complied with that particular part of our ordinance.
I'm for doing this because it provides structure. Mm-hmm. What I'm challenged with is we've got a little bit, but now we're going to have to, given the scenario, given the challenges from neighbors and others, now are we going to have to accommodate to make it work? And I don't like to see that. I'd rather see it that it's appropriate. So,
Are you saying because we're adding the all-weather surface area?
The way I heard the definition, the all-weather surface needs to be accessed based off of a hard surface, right? Not to drive through grass to get to it.
Right.
So in this instance, I have to drive through grass and over a sidewalk to get to it. Doesn't fit.
That was I think we talked about that as a request of the mayor.
Absolutely. Yeah, otherwise, I'll go put gravel in my backyard, but I'll drive around my yard and put it in. Which I've read through some of the ordinance. We actually, I believe it even states in our codes that if I wanted to, I could pull a boat or a trailer around in my backyard and park it there because it's out of view.
What are your thoughts? Go on with this.
I should have said something, I guess, before we started, because I know where my vote would be at this point.
You want to table it?
We should until we make some clear visions on this and come back to it. That would be my take.
Okay, I withdraw my vote.
Okay.
We don't need to withdraw that.
Wait, I did.
So you want to withdraw your second?
I withdraw my second. Yes.
So then we need a motion to table it.
I'll make a motion to table.
Thank you, Elaine, for the second. Sorry. Motion to table? Yeah. Thank you, Fran. Do we need to call the roll for this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ernest?
Yes.
Morgan?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Dyer?
Yes.
Youngman?
Yes. All right. Moving on, then from this, number 11, discussion and consideration to accept the resolution of Mayor Jaron Rozin. I believe everybody here got a copy of this. Just to for the people that maybe out there that didn't, I'll read it. Mayor Pro Tem Youngquist, I have struggled immensely with this decision. I ran for office to better our community, and I keep returning to what is best for the city of Washington. Ultimately, continuing on with a leave of absence slows progress. It was a great honor to work with so many wonderful individuals and organizations over the last 10 years to accomplish huge things. With reluctance, I tender my resignation effective March 1st, 2024. Yours sincerely, Mayor Jaron P. Rozin. So, we need to move forward and accept the resignation. And I would hope that we could move forward and not spend a lot of time rehashing the past, what has happened over the last year, but move on to make future plans.
Agreed.
So.
To make a motion, we accept his resignation.
Thank you, Fran.
I second that.
Thank you, Pat. And this be a voice vote? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Okay. Thank you very much. Next is, you have this in front of you on the desk, a discussion and consideration of a resolution to hold a special election for the vacant mayor position. Kevin, you've gone to the courthouse.
So I did talk to the county auditor today. Mr. Widner was not there. I talked to a deputy there, and they presented some dates with me. I know there's some time frames we have to comply with, so they get newspaper notice in the newspaper And they had told me that May and June were kind of off the.
Oh.
So what we were trying to do here is we put it on April 30th, which is the fifth Tuesday of the month. We're asking, they said we could recommend a date to them, but obviously the county auditor is Commissioner of Elections has the final say on that. So what we'll do is we'll bring this down to them. We'll get the sign, we'll bring it down to them tomorrow, and then I'm sure they'll call Deanna and see if that date would work. Otherwise, we were looking into July. So we tried to push it. Like I said, Mr. Whitman's gone, but she said May and June were going to be difficult. So, so that's why we put this date on there.
Okay.
It's just the recommendation. They have the ultimate say on this.
I see.
Gives it as long as we can get before May because you have to have the publication, and you also have to have people who want to run for mayor have time to get the signatures and everything online too. So obviously this is about 29 days. We're close to 60 days out. So we will go with that. And if we change, we'll make sure we come back to you with a different date if this one does not work for them.
All right.
What was the date again?
April 30th.
April 30th. It's on the you have the resolution in front of you. Well, it was on the desk, makeup and there.
Yeah. I mean, in the bottom section is just the recommended date. We use this resolution when Councilmember Pettit and Jeff Keating are going, so we just so the same format.
Same form. Then. Okay. All right. What is your? Who would like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Accept that date.
Thank you, Renee.
Second that.
Thank you, Pat. And it's a resolution, so we need the roll.
Moore?
Yes.
Morgan?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Staggard?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, we made it through in under an hour. let's just do a once around. Chief, I end up starting with you all the time, but we're good, very good place to start.
January report was in the packet. Nobody there did we start for the year. Just wanted to point out that the chart that has the numbers is designed to kind of give you a summary of what officers are doing there. You know, current as of the date that report is created, some of the reportable offenses, the report in our records management system may not be completed or the offense may not be entered in the report at the time I create this. So the totals that you see in current month and in the previous month, sometimes once we get into the year, may not always match the total because of the timeline of when I grab the numbers to put into this document. So I just wanted to point that out. We try to have this so it's available on your second meeting of the month, and so those numbers don't always calculate out to match the totals. This has been the document that I've used for the last 5 years. There's not much room to add things, but if there's additional information that you believe would be helpful for you, I encourage you to reach out, let me know, and we can try to include that. Our records management system allows us to create lots of different reports. This is what was decided on 5 years ago that had most of the information that was beneficial to you to see what we're doing. If something different is requested, let me know and we can discuss that and take a look at what possibilities are. For the third year in a row, I'm happy to report that we had 100% compliance on our tobacco and vape product check. So we kind of all opened those last week. So we'll get a media release out later in the week identifying each of those retailers. But they were all compliant when we checked them with an underage person. So that's 3 years in a row that our retailers have met that task. Our new patrol unit, number 852, was put into service last week. And our last of the Durangos will head off to the upfitters hopefully in a few weeks, and we will get rid of that vehicle that has been a pain in our side for several years.
Okay. Thank you very much.
One question here, the physical agility testing.
Yes.
That's for
New hires. Yes, we had four persons that took that in the middle of January. It's a mile and a half run, push-ups and sit-ups in a minute. Okay. And there's set standards by the Iowa Law Enforcement Academy, and everyone knows going in what they need to get. And
our last four applicants
the test did not pass. So before we spend money on the written test, we have them take the physical agility test.
Okay.
So we're still looking. I have had a conversation in the last few days with a certified officer that looks promising. So we'll see how that works out. We've had some certified applicants, but once you start doing some background and things like that, they're not always the right fit. So
okay.
We'll continue to work with what we have. We've got a great team here, and I don't want to, as we talked amongst ourselves over there, we don't want to settle on something just to fill that spot. Mm-hmm. We're taking it.
All right. Appreciate that.
More than the bottom.
Yeah, right.
D player.
Kelsey and Amanda, do you guys have anything?
Reminder, we have our free lunch on Thursday. So yeah, we'll see you guys
again. Okay. At the library, right? Yeah. Amanda, nothing? Kevin.
I've been working with the attorney for the owner of the loft on North Sea that we had an agreement with a couple of years ago that it's not comply with this requirement. So we will be looking to get those lots back from him. So we will have some vacant lots sitting there.
Okay. All right. Deanna.
I don't have anything else today.
She doesn't have a voice either. So we won't make her talk. Elaine.
Why she's so quiet tonight.
I had a complaint. Brava tile. It's, I don't know what it is, but they bring a truck in and it runs for a couple of hours. They started at 6:15 the other morning, right next to all of our houses.
Hmm.
And I had a complaint, AM, 6:15 AM.
And this is like on that curve south.
Yes.
The ninth.
Oh. And the neighbors weren't happy.
Mm-hmm. So I did hear about that and I did contact them and they were taking it to the top people to address that.
Oh, good. Okay. Good. Yeah, okay. They were not happy.
It's one of Brava's trucks?
Yeah. Well, it's...
Or it's there at their...
Yeah, they back it in along the side there. And I can attest it was 6:15 a.m.
Oh, that's not
the neighbor. I'm sure I knew it was 6:15 or 6 o'clock. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You don't want that waking up.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I mean, you got to be good neighbors. And we it's not even normal working hours at that time of the day. So,
yeah. Well, I'm glad that
they bang.
You talk to them about that.
Yeah. They beat on the side of the truck to get all the product out of it. So, it's not even just the grinding of the whatever makes it run out, they take a big something and boom.
Is it going in those bulk tanks?
Yes. And they're getting ready to add another bulk tank.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, hopefully that'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Last week I went to the county 911 emergency management and communications board, and that's hence the money towards the siren system and the grant. We do need an elected representative, somebody who is an elected person to serve on the county EMS council. So if anybody here on council is interested, let me know. Also, the county applied for the emergency disaster designation for the snow removal in January, and that's in in the president's hand in Washington, D.C. So if it does get approved, we will get some reimbursement for some of the extra money we spent removing snow. Other than that, I don't have anything. I'll pass it on to Ida.
I also had a neighbor talk about the Parava thing. Otherwise, it's been pretty quiet, I guess. Everybody's enjoying the nice weather.
I know. 60 degrees, couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Pat? It's
supposed to be almost 70. Monday, Sunday or Monday.
It's scary for the trees, though. Yeah. I love it. It's a double-edged sword, but I just worry about the trees.
Yeah, I hope we won't need buds hardened from tornado shelter.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say thank you for that presentation tonight, Bud. I apologize. I know you and I tried to hook up a couple of times, so my schedule is not, it hasn't even been favorable for myself. I'm intrigued. I'm very much intrigued by any opportunity that we can have to be, let's say, creative. Right? Especially if there's an opportunity with where we have lots directly in town where we can make improvements. So looking forward to hopefully looking at what opportunities we may have then.
I just want to say something about that. We had a fund that we would reimburse for tearing down buildings.
I remember what.
Yeah. So we need to look into that. I'm not quite sure where it stands now, but yeah, it's been a while.
We still have it. It's that fund 145, the housing in terms of dangerous building lines that we transferred from.
Okay.
Still there, but hasn't been.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Good. All right, thank you. Fran, close us out.
It's been quite 2 weeks for me. Didn't hit a ball game last night, last one of the year. I survived. Timber still works. Leg still works. Baseball starts in March. Aging needs to be back for me. Division one started this weekend. I didn't have any old, so it was pretty good. Other than that, I would like to make a motion to adjourn this meeting. A second one.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, it's
not pretty good to hear him this time.
Yeah,
he jumps right in there. That's good.
Brandon, you're about the game in the tunnel last night.
You're gonna stir it up.
Did you run some state
game in the tunnel? Kind of, he always gets
it. Did you run some state game in the tunnel?
He loves that.
City and I had one of the parents threw a water bottle at one of the referees during the game from behind the bench.
I guess I
know. It was the same thing. It was the whole thing with the fan. Of course, the ref got thrown out, but the coach got thrown out, and then they claimed the ref said something.
It was complete.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And they like cleared, like if they stopped the game, and it was.
Well,
yeah.
they said like the police were there.
Oh, and
what the thing I put out for the press was.
Right. Oh, did you?